Chapter 92. 6 hours later, the goddess Aphrodite was showing the Numa surveyors anything but love. The seabed around the Petra II Romeo proved void of any man-made objects. Dirk had taken over the next survey shift, staring at an endless scroll of rocks and sand on the monitor, while Summer and Pitt loitered about, hoping for a strike. Giordino stepped onto the bridge, surprised to see that Summer's enthusiasm had waned to frustration. "The AUV's due up in about 45 minutes," he said to Pitt. "We're only a few minutes away from finishing this lane," Dirk noted. "All right. Break off when we cross the end point, then we'll go pick up the big fish," Pitt said. "Anything at all?" Giordino asked. "If you have a fetish for rock gardens, you'd enjoy the seafloor here," Dirk said. Giordino eased over to the helm and gazed out the forward window. Seeing they were near the shoreline, he picked up a pair of binoculars and scanned a pebble-strewn beach that ran west of the large rock formation. "Any Greek goddesses lying about?" Summer asked with a hint of disdain. "No, the gods have deserted the beach on this sunny afternoon. Even the shady sea caves are empty of spirits." Pitt approached him with an inquiring look on his face. "Mind if I take a peek?" As Pitt scanned the shoreline, Dirk announced that they had reached the end of the survey lane. "Al, can you help secure the towfish?" he asked, turning off the sonar system. "At your service," Giordino replied, and the two men headed for the stern. Pitt kept his eyes glued to the shore, then turned to Kenfield. "Captain, would you mind taking us in a little closer to shore on a bearing of 20 degrees, he said. "What's up, Dad?" Summer asked. "Just exploring the possibility that King Al might have struck gold once more." As the Aegean explorer eased into shallow water, Pitt got a better look at the shoreline. From a low, pebbly beach around Petra II Romeo, the terrain climbed dramatically to the east, rising in high, chalky cliffs several hundred feet high. The Mediterranean's steady waves rolled into the base of the cliffs with a rumble, splashing foam high against the rocks at water's edge. Across the lower cliff face, scattered indentations were worn into the limestone where the sea had scoured away a hole, or sea cave, as Giordino had called them. It was the caves that had caught Pitt's attention, and he studied each one carefully. He finally focused on one in particular, a small black opening low above the water with tumbled rocks around its perimeter. "Towfish is aboard," Dirk announced, stepping back onto the bridge with Giordino. Pitt put down the binoculars. "Captain, what's the tidal stage right now?" he asked. "We're just past high tide," Kenfield replied. "Tidal range is fairly minimal here, a couple of feet or so." Pitt nodded with a slight smile, then turned to Gunn. "Rudy, you've done some ocean modeling. How much of a change in sea level would you say the Mediterranean has witnessed in the last 1,700 years? Gunn scratched his head. "The sea level today is probably 2 to 3 meters higher than it was 2,000 years ago. I can give you an accurate estimate if I check the NUMA database." "That's not necessary," Pitt replied. He gazed at the sea cave once more. "I think she'd just about fit," he muttered. "We really need to go retrieve the AUV now," Gunn pleaded. "Okay, but before you go, you'll need to drop Summer and me in the Zodiac. Dirk, too, if you want to come." "No thanks, Dad," Dirk replied. "I've had my share of goose chasing with Summer. I'll help with the AUV." "But where are we going?" Summer asked. "Why, to that cliff," Pitt said, pointing to the shore with a smile. "Where else are we going to find ourselves a Roman galley?"